I'm going to invite you to turn in your Bibles to Matthew chapter 7. If you can believe it, we're going to finish up our series on the Sermon on the Mount this morning. We started this all the way back on September 6th, last fall. In fact, I was back in the live stream era. So on that Sunday, September 6th, it was just me and the AV guys, the AV team, a couple cameras in here, and all you guys in your homes. But since that time, we've had 22 messages that we've talked through and taught through, beginning in Matthew chapter 5 all the way till this morning as we finish up chapter 7. And the theme of this series of messages coordinates with our theme for this year, and it's this idea of Jesus changes everything. And I told you way back then that I was excited, a soul burden for this idea that during this season, more than ever, we just need to put our eyes and put our focus on Jesus. I took some time to go back over some of my notes. It's really been an amazing list of topics we've covered and Jesus taught through in chapter 5. I'm just going to list these things. I hope it'll be encouraging of just the number of important topics we've worked through here. How to heed the warning lights of anger. You know, there's a lot of Christians out there with short fuses. And don't ignore sensual warning signs. And keep your promises. We talked about divorce and remarriage and what Jesus has to say about that in Matthew 5. And what a Christian is supposed to do when they've been wronged, when they've been unfairly treated. In chapter 6, we talked about how to pray. And what does the Bible say about fasting? And how will you invest the resources of your life and God's answers for worry? And then in chapter 7, we've been talking about the difference between critical thinking and being a critical person. This idea of what did Jesus mean when he says, don't judge people. We talked about two roads of life, this idea of life's greatest decision. Are you going to be on the wide road or the narrow road? And Jesus talked about how to identify false teachers. And that's just kind of the highlights of these messages that we've worked through over the last number of months. It's been a pretty amazing journey, hasn't it? It has been for me, and this morning we're coming to the culmination. In fact, I think it's really the heart of the message and the heart of the whole series. Jesus, I think, draws this whole series of teaching together with a powerful illustration. He's going to tell us a story. It's a story about two guys who both built their own houses. And we're going to read it here in a minute, but I want you to get this idea. I think it's really one of the greatest stories and one of the greatest illustrations in all of the Bible. And it applies to so many areas of our lives. I think it teaches a number of things with great simplicity. And I think you're going to see that as we look through it. I want you to begin reading in Matthew chapter 7, in verse 24. Says this, Jesus says, therefore, in fact, you know, it's really important, says, on the basis of what we've already said, all right, this whole message up to this point, this Sermon on the Mount, on the basis of all this teaching, here's the summary, the conclusion. Therefore, whosoever hears these sayings of mine, what I've just taught, and does them, I will liken him unto a wise man who builds his house upon a rock. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. And everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be like unto a foolish man who built his house upon the sand. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell. And great was the fall of it. And it came to pass when Jesus had ended these sayings, the people were astonished at his doctrine, for he taught them as one having authority and not as the scribes. Would you bow with me as we pray and just ask God's blessing on his word this morning? Father, we've come to you with open Bibles, listening to your word. We want to hear and we want to do. So I'd ask that through the living power of your word and the work of your spirit who is here with us in this room. Would you attach this teaching to our hearts in a way that would change us and help us? And we'd ask for these things in the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. It's almost hard to talk about this story without singing, "The wise man built his house upon a rock," and we're not going to do it. But you guys remember the wise man built his house on the rock? The wise man built his house upon the rock. The wise man built his house upon the rock. And the rains came tumbling down, and the floods came up, and the house on the rock stood firm. And the foolish man, yes, the foolish man builds his house upon the sand. The foolish man builds his house upon the sand, and the rains come, and the floods come, and the house on the sand goes splat. Yeah. And then that last verse is, so build your house on the Lord Jesus Christ, build your house on the Lord Jesus Christ, build your house on the Lord Jesus Christ, and the blessings will come down. This is the story. This is the wise man and the foolish man story. As I told you a minute ago, I think this is one of the greatest stories in all of the Bible, one of the greatest stories of all time. It's a very simple and it's a very clear illustration. And I've thought a lot about this, about trying to be careful that I don't complicate it in our explanation. Here's what it teaches. Every person here is building your life on one of two foundations. In fact, the story of these two guys is that they have a lot of similarities. They're different men, but there's a lot of things that they have in common. They're both builders. And they're building the same thing. They're building a house, though it's in two different places. And their houses are probably very similar in size and shape. But there's a couple of contrasts. They're stunning contrasts. One man is called wise, and one is called foolish. In fact, the Greek word for foolish is the word mora, from which you hear the word moron. So we've got a wise man and we got a moron here, and Jesus is going to talk about the foolishness of one of these men. The contrast is about foundations. And if you can kind of mentally, if you're taking notes, if you can highlight this word, I want you to underline it and circle it. I mean, it's foundations. It's going to be underlining everything that we talk about. I think it's underlining what Jesus is teaching here. So here's the teaching. Every person here is building your life on one of two foundations. If you build your life on the sand, you're going to be in big trouble. But if you build your life on the rock, then you will be able to stand strong in the roughest of life storms. Everybody with me on that? All right, let's break this down with a couple of principles. Principle number one, the key building factor is not so much about materials and forms. The key is foundation. The man who builds his house on the sand did a lot of things right. I mean, think about this. Although he is called a moron, he was evidently diligent. He was energetic. He was a hard worker. He built a house, and we don't hear anything wrong about the structure that he built. It's not an easy thing to build a house. I've done a few remodeling projects, and it's not easy. I think even for somebody that knows what they're doing, which is not me, even for somebody that knows what they're doing, it's not an easy thing to build a house. And this guy didn't have a Home Depot, you know, right down the road that he could go pick up stuff. There were no Bensons that delivered to his house. I mean, he had to carry stone and he had to cut lumber and he had to form bricks out of clay in order to build this house. I mean, this is months of backbreaking hard labor that he was doing. He didn't just throw it together. It's not kind of like, you know, the story of the three little pigs where, you know, one builds a house out of stone and one out of straw and one out of sticks. And it was sort of like the two other pigs were lazy. That's not the story here. I mean, this guy builds a house and all indications are that he invests time and energy and effort into it. And the point that I want to make to you is that it wasn't that this guy was lazy. It's not that he lacked initiative. As far as we know, he worked just as hard as the other guy. The problem was that he spent all of this effort building on the wrong foundation. And so the Bible calls him a fool. The Bible calls him a moron. He put all of this time and all of this energy into building something, but he didn't bother to consider the foundation on which he was building his house. It's possible, and I want you to listen closely to this, it is possible to accomplish a great deal in this life with hard work and diligent effort. There are many, many people in our world that accomplish a lot because they work hard. You can build a business, you can build a career, you can make money, you can have a reasonably good marriage, you can develop a wide circle of friends, you can do good things, you can give money to charity, you can coach Little League, you can be a big brother, you can work to help the homeless, you can volunteer in your community, you can have a good time, and you can enjoy life, and you can do many big, important, impressive, admirable things. Listen, you can build a pretty impressive house. Everybody that looks on it will say, that's a pretty impressive life. It looks great to everybody. Your house is beautifully painted. And you've done a lot of work on the landscaping. And you've decorated it just so. You've got the right furniture in place and the right artwork on the walls. But I want you to know the critical factor is not all this stuff. The key factor is the foundation. How many of you know what this is? I think we've got a picture coming up. Right, the Leaning Tower of Pisa. The picture is not this. I don't think this is the second picture. I don't think they're actually helping, but I think they're trying. The Leaning Tower of Pisa was started in 1174, a few years ago. Architect by the name of Banana Pisana. That's a good name. I've always thought about the names we should name our kids. I didn't know this one before. This would have been a good one. Banana Pisana. He began work on this famous structure in 1174. It was to be 8 stories tall, and it is. There was just one little problem. As they began to build, and actually it was pretty early on in the construction process, they found out that the soil was much softer than they anticipated, and they didn't build the foundation down deep enough. In fact, this was started in 1174. It was not completed for 176 years. That's a long time. And the reason it wasn't completed in that long time, one thing was because of all of the craftsmanship that went into it, but they kept trying to figure out how they could correct the problem, but they did a lot of different things. They were never able to correct the problem. They were able to stabilize it, and they just kept building it. It's really an incredible structure, but it's been leaning, I think what they say, it leans 18 feet away from where it should be, 10 degrees off vertical for those of you that are engineers. The reason? Well, it wasn't built on the right foundation. All of the work that went into it, all the time that happened, all of that, it was good, but it wasn't built in the right foundation. You say, well, in Jesus' story, what's the foundation problem? And the answer, again, is very clear in this text. In verse 24, he says that one man hears and does, he heareth and doeth. And then look down at verse 26, it says, the other man hears and doeth them not. The foolish builder heard everything. He knew the right answers. But it seems like he was just too busy building his life and his career and his relationships and his family and his portfolio and his retirement. He's too busy building all of that to worry about the foundation. Man, how many people Do you know who are doing just this? In fact, maybe you. Here's the other principles. Sunny days are not the measure of a stable house and a stable life. Now, again, please listen carefully to the next couple of minutes. As long as the weather was good, the foolish man's house is perfectly adequate. Listen, just because the house looked impressive at the present doesn't mean that the foundation is sure. Because sunny days are not the measure of a stable house. It's not the measure of a stable life. Why? Because it is the storms of life that reveal the strength of the foundation. That's number three. It's the storms of life that reveal the strength of the foundation. The test of the foundation of any life is not how does that life look when the sun is shining, when things are going good. That's not the test. Any structure that you build above ground on the sunny days, that might look okay. That's not the test. The test is when the storms come. And the rain descends, and the floods come up, and the winds blow, and that storm just beats on that house. This is when we find out how strong the foundation really is. Here's the fourth thing. I think Jesus' story teaches us that there's no escaping life's storms. This is important because the text teaches us that both men, both houses go through the storm. Neither one of them is able to escape it. They're not able to ignore it. They feel the wind howling. They see the water rising outside the house. They both feel the sense of panic. And the question both of them feel is my house going to stand? You know, here on Guam, we understand the storm idea, don't we? The typhoon is going to come, right? If not this year, maybe next. If not yet next year, maybe next. But listen, it's not a matter of hoping that it doesn't and hoping, you know, maybe I can build enough to just kind of get by. Maybe we won't have the storm. It's not like that around here. It's going to come, and we know that we got to prepare for it at some point. Listen, Jesus in this story is not teaching us how to build our houses in protected areas. He's not telling us how to go about and find a very safe, very comfortable setting where we'll never face the wind. That's not the point of the story. In fact, I think just the opposite. His story is forcing us to face the reality that life is difficult and that storms are inevitable and that pain happens. We face financial storms. We have health storms. And we go through relationship storms. And we experience work and employment storms. Some of you are in a storm right now. And the rest, the storm is coming. We're hurt by someone we love, somebody that we trust, and it feels like our house is just shaking under the storm of life. We lose our job. We have no idea what we're going to do. Our marriage breaks up, and we didn't see it coming, or maybe we did see it coming, and it hurts even more. We face death of people that we love, and we don't know how we're going to go on without that person. And these storms come to us all. It has nothing to do with the person. It's not whether you're a nice person or a bad person. I've had people say to me, I mean, I must be a bad person. Or God must not like me. No, that's not it. The storms come to us all. everybody's going to experience them. Some people think that being a Christian means that all the storms of my life would go away, right? If I become a Christian and all this hard thing that I go through, then all that's going to go away. Listen, this is not the teaching of Jesus. This is not the teaching of the Bible. And so we think that, and then somehow when we're surprised when the storms hit. I mean, why did this happen? I'm a Christian. Doesn't God care about me? Why did He allow this to happen? Listen, I just want to tell you, based on the Word of God and the words of Jesus here, there are no storm-free zones. It's not about avoiding the weather. It's about foundations. It's about foundations. What the text is helping us understand is that God's not always going to stop the typhoons from invading our lives. And these storms are not any less intense just because you're a Christian. They're not. That's not the message. If you're a Christian, you know, the storms won't be as bad. You're still going to have them, but they're not going to be as bad. That's not the story. What he says is that if your foundation is strong, you will survive and you will stand firm and you will not be shaken. You will not be crushed. Your house will not fall. Your life will not collapse. Oh, it might feel like it will. If you've been through a typhoon, even if you know your house is firm and that wind is howling, you might be wondering, is this thing going to go down? But deep down, it will not, because the foundation is secure. This is the story of Jesus that he says to Christians. I told you a few months ago that I got to spend an extra day with my dad this February. I was in the States for a recruiting trip, and the flight schedules did not work out, and I had this extra day just happened to be there, and I got to spend it with my dad, really the whole day. Had nothing else going on. Nobody else was around, and so it was just me and my dad chatting and talking, just a special time that whole day. I was thinking this week, kind of remembering that conversation, and even more than that, just thinking back on my dad's life and thinking about foundations and storms and just, you know, I hope just continuing to grow in the example of my dad in this area in his life. My dad's 85, going to be 86 here in June. Like most people who have lived 85 plus years, I was thinking about some of the storms of his life. My mom and dad, I think I have a picture of my dad and mom. This is just not long before my mom passed away. She'd been sick for a while. You can kind of see that with her. But my mom and dad, as young parents, had a baby pass away. My older brother, Stephen, didn't live very long and passed away. And they felt that pain, as many people have also experienced the loss of children. They went through some tough ministry times together and some hard family times. 21 years ago, I watched my dad go through one of the great storms in life when my mom passed away. And my dad and mom had an unusual marriage. I've seen lots of good marriages. I think my mom and dad had an unusually good marriage. The one flesh concept that we find in the Bible was just lived out in their lives. And that year, my mom was very sick for about a year. And that year, we watched that one flesh get ripped apart, and we felt it. I mean, that's really what happened. My mom spent 9 months in intensive care at Mayo Clinic in Minneapolis. I mean, just intensive care, there's a reason why they call it that. And she just had a very, very hard time for 9 months. My dad lived at that hospital waiting room. He just planted himself there and lived there for 9 months away from his home. Over that time, my mom, really, she died and then rallied literally dozens of times. I can't even tell you about this experience because, I mean, just dozens of times we were told your mom is passing away, and then the next day she rallied. She was doing better again. But if you can kind of imagine the emotional roller coaster of that, we said goodbye to her. My dad especially said goodbye to her really dozens of times. And you know, we all, our whole family, those that loved us and loved my mom, we all experienced a little bit of that. But listen, over the course of that time and after, I watched an amazing thing. Up close and intimate, I watched the storms batter and the winds shake, and yet all along, the foundation just never moved. It just was the same. What the storms do is they reveal the strength or the weakness of the foundation. If it has been built on the rock, then it'll stand firm. And if it's built on the sand, then your life will collapse. And verse 27 says, "Great will be the fall of it." Don't those words just kind of rest down that when this happens and the house on the sand goes splat and we sing that song, but man, when we think about the reality of it, we know that great, great will be the fall of it. Here's what I want to tell you this morning. You know, for some here, this passage is such an encouragement. It should be, and I want to tell you it should be, because your foundation is sure. You're going to have storms, but you won't move. You won't be shaken. You might feel like you wonder, is the house going to stand? But if your foundation is dug down deep, then you'll be okay. You'll survive. You'll press through those times. But there are some here, and you know that you've not been living for God. You've not been walking with God. You're just like that foolish man who's maybe heard, but you know that you're not doing what God wants. You're doing what you want. You're making your life choices about what you want. And just as simply as this text does, and as clearly as the text does, can I say to you, moron, and I say that in the most loving way, stop building your life on the sand. Stop. Why do you keep going on through life when you know you've hit storm after storm and each time the life collapses and we come out of it and we just keep building our life on the sand? Jesus is saying, don't do it. This is one of the reasons why being part of a church like this one or another Bible teaching church where the Bible is being taught week by week in this big congregation setting and in dozens of small groups and one-on-one, you know, relationships all throughout the week, where it's just, this is what's happening. The words of Jesus are being taught and we're saying, how do we help each other live it and walk it? This is one of the reasons why it's so important, because this is how our foundations get built. We hear the words of Jesus, and then we leave here and we walk alongside with other believers and we do them. That's what the foundation is. That's exactly what Jesus says. Hear the words and then do them, and you do that in the context of other believers with us in this thing that we call the church. This is a construction zone in here. I'd like to hand out, I've said this before, I'd like to hand out hard hats as you walk in the building every Sunday. I wish we just walked in here and everybody gets a hard hat, because in this place, when you walk in, we're in here building lives. I mean, we're trying to build foundations. And this is such important work. And man, I just want everybody on Guam to be able to be here with us because we're here building lives and God is at work in this place. I mean, get your hard hat because we're building lives. Some of you know that the spiritual foundation of your life or of your marriage or of your family, you know as you're sitting there that it's not strong. So far, it's been okay. I mean, so far, so good. Nothing's fallen down. And I guess I just want to tell you, not to scare you, but the storms are going to come. If you're sitting here and you say, man, I know it. My foundation isn't strong. Our family, my marriage, my personal life, I know that foundation's not dug down deep. But you know what? It's okay. Everything seems all right. Listen, I'm just telling you, the storm's going to come. It is. It will. Some of you are here this morning and your house is falling even as we speak. It might be that your life is already feel like it's collapsed, it's in ruins, it's kind of in rubble around you. First, I want to tell you that I'm sorry. I'm so sorry. I'm sure I can't even understand some of the pain of the storms in your life, and I know that. If I could just sit down beside you, I'd tell you I'm so sorry for what you're experiencing. I wish it didn't happen in the way that it has. But listen, what I can do for you is even more than telling you that I'm sorry. Because what I can tell you is that that storm in your life that's collapsed your house, it may be the best thing that's ever happened to you. Because it will allow you to start over in your building. Here's the best part. The God of the Bible is all about reconstructing your life from the foundations up. This is what He does. This is who He is. He is all about coming alongside us in our failures, and everybody here is in that same boat where we've messed up and our house has collapsed, and this is what He does. He comes alongside us, and He's really good. He's the best at reconstructing your life and rebuilding that foundation. I mean, that's one of His best things. He's all about taking lives that have been busted up by the storms of life, and He just slowly and patiently, He rebuilds them to be something that will last and something that will count. Man, if we had time, we could go around this room and hear stories and testimonies, row after row, section after section, who would raise their hand and say, yeah, that's my story. All you have to do is let Him. You know, okay, God, I've spent 25 years, I've spent 35 years building my own life, and I know it's all been a waste. And right now, I want to give You the right to reconstruct it for me. You teach me, I'll listen. This morning, God is saying to you, surrender now completely. I'm about to begin a work of foundation building in your life. Surrender now.